So here are these 10 lepers. They're a mix of people. Jewish people and Samaritans at least, but they could be, there's probably a mix of men and women, or probably a mix of older and younger. It's a little ad hoc community. Because of the leprosy, because of their disease, they all had to be separated from the general public. That could end up being a very lonely way of life, but they have each other. I mean, it's not the ideal community, but it's something, better than nothing. They're not with their actual families. They're not with their friends. And in fact, this group of people may have never gotten to know each other at all. Certainly not the Jews and Samaritans, except that they all have the same disease. They've all got this leprosy, except for the circumstances that keeps them separated from the rest of society, separated from all the people they do know. But as pitiable as their circumstances are, they're not without hope. They have hope. People without hope don't do anything but wait for death. They just don't do anything. But these lepers, they have hope. They had apparently heard of the power of Jesus, the miraculous deeds he had done other places, so they knew to ask him for help, and they call him Master. They've got high hopes for the possibilities that meeting Jesus might bring. Is he really the Messiah, they might be thinking. I heard that a woman simply touched the hem of his garment and was healed. That's amazing. Maybe he can heal us. And what's going through their heads? And in the end, their hopes are not smashed. I mean, they do what he tells them to do. He says, go and show yourself to the priests. And they do it. And they're healed on the way. But why does Jesus have them do this? Why does Jesus have them do this? Well, the priests, the Jewish priests, they have an essential role. They stand between heaven and earth. They stand between the bottomless, infinite mysteries of God and the measurable realities of daily life. That's their job. The priests hold these two realities together in tension, because they don't always seem to mesh. It's certainly not the way we live our lives. God who is all holy and we who are sometimes sinful. So it's their job to hold, for the sake of the whole community, to hold these realities in tension, the realities of God that are mysterious and the realities of the world that are concrete and measurable. Because they have this role, they are the only ones who can verify that an incurable disease, leprosy, which exiles people from society for life, they're the only ones that can verify that this incurable disease has been cured, which of course is impossible. They're the only ones that can verify that something that only God can do, because it's impossible for human beings, they're the only ones that can verify that something only God can do has been done. And so they are the ones, the priests, who can permit these people back into society, who can let them go back to their family and friends, who can say, yes, you are healed and you're no longer a leper, as impossible as that is. Again, it's something only God can do. But they, the Jewish priests, they have that knowledge and that regular contact with the mysteries of God. So, can you imagine the thoughts running through the minds of these 10 lepers when Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priests? They know what the priest's role is in this situation. So now they are thinking, well, if they say that we are clean, then that means they could go back to their family and friends. They could go back to their spouses. They could go back to their neighbors and to their children. Maybe they imagine sitting down to a meal with them all again, or returning to the work and to the routines that they love to do within their community, within their daily life. All this that they've missed out on for so many years, ever since they were diagnosed with their disease. And they go, and the priests verify their cleanliness, and they let them go back into society. And they are so happy. But they are not, well, one is thankful. The other nine, they might be happy, but they're not thankful. Why does Jesus get mad at the end? Where are the other nine? Has none of this foreigner returned to give thanks to God? None of them came to give thanks. Thankfulness, graciousness, gratitude, it's essential. And Jesus needs to rebuke the ungrateful. He is owed this. Jesus is owed thanks. God is owed thanks. but not because God needs it, like in some psychological, like, you know, the way a child, you know, thinks that he deserves every little thing. No, that's not the way God is. God is not greedy for attention, you know. God does not need our thanks. But he knows, but Jesus knows that there is something lacking, something defective in these people who are not thankful. It's good to be thankful. It's good for the soul to be thankful. And if we are not thankful to God, then we might not be thankful to each other. So nine of these lepers were healed of the physical disease, but only one was really made completely whole, body and soul. His body was healed of the disease, and his soul was thankful. The other nine, they're still not really complete yet. They're not completely whole. Now, we might not all have leprosy, but we are all lepers, metaphorically speaking, in some way or another. We all require divine help. And this isn't an admission that we can't do anything for ourselves. Certainly some of us, certainly we can do things for ourselves, some of us more than others. But aside from the regular things of daily life, which we are capable of, the things that matter most of all are the things that don't come from anywhere else but God. The gift of our very existence, the gifts of our lives and our vocations, the gift of salvation, the gift of divine love, the promise that there is more than just this imperfect world that we live in, and that we're just pilgrims, that we're just passing through. This world is just a place we're pilgrims in. So for all of these things, and for more, we have to be thankful, because we could not have given them to ourselves. We could not have earned them. We could not have merited them. And if we don't feel it, okay, fine. We don't feel thankful. Say thank you anyway, so that the habit and the virtue of thankfulness may grow in us, so that we're not like the nine who are not thankful, so that we'll never forget to be thankful to anyone. And certainly, we won't forget to be thankful to God, the God from whom all blessings flow, from whom everything comes as a gift.